Welcome to Tavern Tales Jr., Humblewood Edition. This is a Dungeons & Dragons 5e actual play podcast for kids and adults. In Tavern Tales Jr., we will take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure, but this time, we're all burbs. This podcast is created by and for kids. So let's see what heights we can reach today, because we're burbs.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free, through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me, and I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come, and we'll leave the street in these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
We have returned. Our heroes are in their hotel room. It is very late at night, 2:30 in the morning, the darkest, most depressive hours of the day. A letter lays at their feet.
What's this? Hold on. Connor Goldpenny? Well, there's only one way to read this.
Hello. Hi. Connor Goldpenny. What? You may think you have the upper hand, heroes of Alderheart, but you have not the funds nor the connections to win the day. There will be repercussions for your actions. Mark my words. Signed, Connor Goldpenny.
Okay.
Well.
So it's safe to assume that he knows that we broke into his house.
I think he's the one who hired us. I think he's the one who hired the very neutral Thieves Guild to kill us.
April, you should go talk to the Thieves Guild. Rita, maybe go learn any information you can about anything to do with my speech, especially with who I should argue about.
Well, that's all in your packet.
You have your packet, and that can include whatever information you want it to include. You haven't had really a time to look through yours yet, but there has been some downtime, so we can get to that. What are you doing right now, though?
I'm looking through my packet.
You are not going to go to bed?
Rita's going to go to bed. Rita's going to have a bath and then go to bed.
I don't know if that's a good idea to have a bath and then go to bed, but sure, if that's what you need to do.
I'm reading through my packet and then I'm going to go to bed.
Rita is gross from all the flying.
Sure.
April's just going to go to bed.
Fair. Tim, the other two are making haste to go to bed. Do you want their help with the packet at all?
No.
Okay, they head off to bed and Tim opens up his packet. In your package, you learn that there is someone named Winton Umberpeck, a woodpecker that you will be debating against. And this individual is extremely good at debate. And there are a few things that you would need to do to prepare yourself, because Winton Umberpeck is a very, very well-to-do carpenter in Alderheart. And he has been responsible for many, many amazing projects, and now he's running for council. However, there is some information in the packet that can help you against Winton Umberpeck that tells you, you might want to write this down, somebody to help Will out, that Winton Umberpeck does not know much about being a politician. And while Winton Umberpeck is a very good debater, if Winton Umberpeck gets defensive, Winton Umberpeck comes across very condescending. And if you get Winton Umberpeck to start talking about carpentry policy changes, he will bore the entire debate room.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there anything else you now know about Winton Umberpeck that might be relevant to stuff that Tim currently knows, but maybe only Savannah knows at this moment?
It was on the list that we copied from Connor Goldpenny's house.
But also, what do I need to talk to him? Like, what do I need to talk about to make sure that he's about?
If you talk about carpentry policy changes, he'll get, like, really condescending and bore the entire audience. So he's got his different flaws. Also,
can you write those two things down on that piece of paper to give to Will so that he can... So he's on Connor Goldpenny's list. That makes him bad. How much time do you spend on this research before going to bed?
15 minutes.
Okay, so you only get the information about Winton Umberpeck before you go to bed. Is your intent to get up super early or get a good night's sleep?
If 5 a.m. was like a really early time to get up, he would wake up at 5:30.
Your speech is not until the early afternoon. So are you going to get a full night's sleep and less research in, or are you going to get a not full night's sleep and lots of research in?
Not a full night's sleep.
So your intent is to get up with lots of research. Are the two of you going to help Tim Portence with his research?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
So are you getting a full night's sleep or are you getting up early as well?
Full night's sleep. Rita needs that.
April get up early too.
Okay, so April gets up nice and early. It is 8 o'clock in the morning. You went to sleep at 6. You got only 5 hours of sleep. You're both still quite tired. April's had a little bit more sleep than Tim. And now Rita is still asleep. You can hear Rita, little snores in the other room. You don't want to disturb Rita, even though the snoring has gotten louder. And our two other heroes begin their researching and speech writing for the debate. Do you want Robin to write down your key topics for the debate that you want to bring up?
Possibly corruption, maybe not specific names, because that might not look the best, but corruption and how you want to avoid that in the council?
I'll start off being like, I want to avoid corruption inside of the council by blah, 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 blah.
How about weed out corruption?
I'd like to weed out corruption from this.
Yeah, what else do you want to say in your speech?
Something to boost Sunny Honey Vishals. Because aren't we in the same debate?
Yes, you're in the same debate as Sunny Honey Vishal. Are you going to bring up that you're a hero of Alderheart?
No.
No? Are you going to bring up that you are a follower of Gaspard and you will, if elected, you will follow Gaspard's teachings on how to be a leader?
Yes.
What are Gaspard's teachings on how to be a leader?
To stay truthful.
Okay, what else? We need two more. Stay truthful. What's another one?
Fight for what you believe is right.
Have a righteous cause. What's another Gaspard teachings on how to be a leader, Robin?
Protect those weaker than you.
Protect the weaker?
And the young. And protect people, pretty much.
Protect the weak and the young. Stay truthful. Have a righteous cause. Protect the weak and young. Anything else? Or is three enough? What do you think, Will?
Three's enough.
You are going to say, my name is blah. I'm here to weed out corruption. I want to be elected because Gaspard's teachings to be a leader. You want to give Sunny Honey Vishal a boost in your own speech. And then during the debate, you'll bring out the big guns about carpentry policy. Great. Roll an investigation check, Tim Portence. And you have assistance from your friend April, so you have advantage on the check. How did we do?
14.
What is your plus to investigation there, April Reaper?
It's just a plus one.
Oh my. So your 14 is enough to get this information and not much more. And you are not suffering any debilitative impairment and are not exhausted for your speech. Just so you know, if you had failed that constitution saving throw, you would have taken a level of exhaustion, and then, in order to be at the speech, you would have had disadvantage on your checks during the speech, because you're so tired. You managed to fight that off. You are not disadvantaged. Rita eventually gets up. Breakfast has been ordered. You have some food. Lunch is underway when you hear some news.
Connor has found us and is kicking us out of the hotel again.
Nope. It is none other than Blaze himself standing in the lobby looking for you.
I hate that man.
I just want to go, Tim, put this middle. I just want to put my middle finger up to him.
You see Blaze, and you all have your eye rolling groan reaction. And he smiles big, his arms open wide, his big bright scarlet feathers fill the space and are blinding to you. He's a cardinal.
Oh, I've always been picturing him as a bluebird. I don't know why.
No, he's a cardinal. Bright red cardinal. He walks up, throws his hands out, his wings out, and says, "Dudes, it's so nice to see you all.
What do you want?
Did you hear the news?"
"What news?"
"It's all over the town, guys. Everywhere."
"What news, Blaze?"
"Teddy Burglecut has been arrested."
"Okay, this is the one time you will ever get a high five from me up top."
"Put it up!" Bam, high five to Blaze.
I may dislike you, but I hate Teddy Burglecut more."
"Dislike me?"
"Well, you clearly can't remember people's names well enough to spread the correct words about them."
"I'm not good with names. It's true, I'm not. But I'm good at telling stories and getting people hyped for certain events and kicking it out, Red style."
"Then what's my name?"
"You got it, bro. Your speech is coming up today." He does not say your name, though.
"What's my name, Blaze?"
"My bestest friend."
"Blaze, if you don't remember my name."
He throws an arm around you and he's like, "Mr. One and Only, no one is going to forget your name. Everybody knows your name. They'll see you on the streets and they call you by your name."
No, they
would. "Did you eat? Did you get enough food?"
Yeah.
"Do you mind if I walk you guys down to the council room for the speeches?"
"I would rather not."
"Oh, yeah, no worries."
"Radical, dude."
"Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, no, for sure. Like, yeah, you guys do your own thing.
Well,
you weren't at my speech, so it's fine."
"That is, his speech is later, though."
"Yours is the last speeches, remember? Yeah, we did some internal changing to make your speech the last one so we could put all the other stuff in there too. So your speeches are the last speeches of the event."
"I'm sorry, Blaze, but what time was that again?"
"It's at 2 p.m.
"I'm sorry, Blaze, but we had some business to do."
"No worries, my guy. Yeah, no, good luck with your speech. I'm hoping we all do well. You got my vote, okay? Right? Because we're the heroes of Alderheart. We got to stick together, right?"
"I mean, technically you've never participated in a mission."
I mean, I've been here the whole time and I did the stuff against the band. Look, we've talked about this enough. I get it. How's your friend who's sick?"
"Bobby is fine. I don't think he will be getting better anytime soon."
"Well, I'm sorry. I'll go check on him and see if there's any help I can bring him, okay?" And he like takes off to go help out Bobby. But when you say Bobby's fine, he looks at Tim and then he looks back at you. And then you can kind of see a light bulb go off and he leaves. Is there anything you want to do on your way to Tim's speech? It's about 12:30 in the afternoon. You've eaten. He's got himself all prepared. He knows what he wants to do for his speech. What do you want to do along the way? Now, if I recall, this speech is not in the Birdfolk Council, which is what Blaze had just said. This speech is actually down in the main courtyard, where a long time ago you had a huge brouhaha when you tried to give a gold piece to a homeless person and almost started a riot. That square, that open area where there's a fountain, is going to be where the speeches are. The fountain has been turned off and a platform raised over top of it, and that's where the people will be giving their speeches, in a big circular area. And of course, that's very close to the Thieves Guild. So what would you like to do?
Let's head down and I'll stop by the Thieves Guild on our way there.
Yeah. Okay. You got this, Tim?
Yep.
You good?
Yep.
Rita's gonna like kind of cover their face as they walk into town as to not...
You trying to avoid anything or keep on the lookout for anything on your walk to...
I want to avoid causing another riot by my presence.
Fair, but are you out on the lookout for assassins?
Yes.
Okay, everyone make a perception check.
Ba, 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 ba.
Tim, are you not making a perception check because you're doing a speech? If you don't want to make a perception check, I'll gladly give you a blue gem.
23.
Yeah.
15.
I have gotten a 23.
You both note no assassins appear to be tracking you during the day. The 23, you're very, very certain of it. You've kept your eyes very peeled. 15, they might be out there. You missed a couple of corridors and alleyways, and somebody could have been tailing you, but you're pretty sure nobody is.
I bet April's roguish nature is like, I don't know.
April splits off. The two of you head to the main area itself. Rita, full of support of Tim.
You got this, Tim.
And I don't doubt you're going to try at the very last second to bardically inspire your mm-hmm. friend. So think about what that's going to be as April goes up to the door to the Thieves Guild.
April makes her way, easily getting into the Thieves Guild.
April makes her way to the door of the Thieves Guild.
April makes her way to the door.
And you are jumped by a Mapache with a knife.
Oh, come on.
And
God damn.
As you're now about to roll initiative, the door to the Thieves Guild opens, and the old figure who always watches the door has a heavy crossbow bolt levied at your assailant. And the old man says,
"Now, now, this is safe, neutral ground. You can't be doing that. Get your butt spot into here."
And the assassin curses and runs away.
Oh, thank gosh. Thank you.
What have you gone and done?
Rita, Tim, and I may have broken into Connor Goldpenny's house the other night.
Okay.
But why there are assassins after us, I have no idea.
Get your butt in here. He pulls you in and closes the door. And Matt's in there, too, and he's wringing his hands. And the old man and Matt then confer briefly and turn. And they say, April, someone has taken a rather large contract out to poison the three of you, or the five of you. Blaze, Bobby Wooden Reaper, Tim Portence, April Reaper, and Rita Harper. Not a small amount either.
Oh.
Like 300 gold for evidence of poisoning you with a particularly drowsy, life-draining, exhausting poison.
Yeah.
And there's nothing the Thieves Guild can do about it.
Oh.
Because it's not a contract for assassination. We've done our best. We cannot figure out who it is that has put this large sum. But I think we can all guess. He looks back and forth between the old man at the door and yourself and winks.
Yeah. What might also make it more likely is that we got a letter from that certain someone last night, which implied that he knew what we did.
Those might be related. It does not seem to me that that individual knows yet what you've acquired from them. So I would be very careful and quiet about any of your activities that you may have undertaken with your friends.
Yeah.
Unless word were to get out. It may very well have a great deal to do with the arrest of Teddy Burglecut.
Oh.
That arrest has been a long time in coming, and we are very fortunate to get it. It knocks the numbers from that individual's list down precipitously because there were some that were also tied to him through Teddy Burglecut.
Okay, well, that's good.
Such names as Ridley Honeysnow and Osbert Umberlore, both of them are very well-connected lieutenants under the employ of Teddy Burglecut. Them not being part of this any longer ties everything together. They may very well remove themselves or recuse themselves from the election. I don't know. You need to be very careful.
Yeah.
I would recommend staying in very well public areas and not go out at night.
Yeah, good idea. We'll do that.
Voting takes place starting tomorrow. It's 3 days long. Make sure you cast your vote early, all five of you, and we will see what we can do. But I also recommend go close to the polling stations. Spread the word. Talk to people who are going to vote and convince them to go and vote. If we don't get enough regular positive people who respect and love the heroes of Alderheart, you won't get elected and we will not get the numbers that we need in order to succeed. Good luck.
Thank you. Yeah.
The afternoon sun shines brightly down upon the faces of everyone gathered in this, the final debate. Before the voting on the Council of Alderheart. there are 100 people running for election. And over the course of the week or so that this has happened, many people have pulled out knowing that they don't have the support. They wanted to do it. Maybe they realized I'm not that good, or they have chosen to take their supporters and throw them under another person who has more support than them because they want to get that person elected more than anything else. This happens a lot in even our normal elections that we have as people here in Calgary. So there's only about 80 people left. 15 of the people that are on the list that you have are still there. There's only 20 spots. That's a 1 in 4 chance of getting elected. So it is Tim Portent's speech time. The announcer gets up, and the announcer is a humble folk. What type of humble folk is it?
Beaver.
A beaver?
Yeah, beaver.
Okay. Wow. It's so nice to have you all here.
Can you make it a groundhog?
Yeah, we can do it with groundhog. Okay.
Groundhog Day.
Well, it's so nice to have you all here for this, the final debates here at the Halder Hot Election. I am your moderator. My name is Bear McNamara.
McNamara is the last name of one of the Heathers and Heathers.
Oh, and I'm pleased to deliver to you the last 6 individuals for debate. There was supposed to be 8 people, but 2 have stepped aside. So let me present all of them up to you. And he introduces all 6. And he says, the order of the debate will be as it always has been. They each of y'all is going to get 1 minute for your speech, Shafian. And then there will be questions asked on which you will all have 30 seconds to reply. There will be an additional amount of time for each of you to rebut and debate with your fellows in an organized fashion. We will move on through a couple more questions, but this shouldn't take more than an hour and a half. And so I'd like to get things rolling with the first set of speeches.
And he does, and it finds your way, Tim Portent, that you are 3rd in the list of people to give their speech. The first 2 speeches go pretty well. They're very well-spoken individuals. You note that Winton Umberpeck does not get to do his speech until last.
I think it's going by a first letter of their first name.
Maybe it does. So, 3rd in the list, Tim Portent. You are called to make your speech. Does anybody do anything in the crowd to rile people up? And has something happened just before Tim goes on stage betwixt Rita and Tim?
Flashback. Before Tim goes on stage, Rita pulls Tim aside and is like, you're going to do amazing. You are fully capable of this. I trust that people will love you the way that me and April do. You are amazing and awesome. And do expect that I'm going to be a cheering in the audience and I'm going to rise people up and rile everyone up. You have got this. You're Tim.
Is it a D6?
Yes.
Get bardically inspired. Boom, boom.
Hello. My name is Tim Portent, and I would like to start my speech about how I want to eliminate all the corruption inside of the council and try and make our community better for another day.
Woo! Tim! 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 That's Tim Portent! That's Tim Portent!
And I would like also to say, I'd also like to say that I am a faithful follower of Gaspard, and I will tell you about Gaspard's techniques in leading and teaching. The first part of Gaspard's leadership teaching is truthful. You always want to be truthful. The second part is protect the weak and young and old. And the third part is love and kindness. If you do all of these 3, then I'm sure that you will be an amazing leader. And then I would also like to say that if you follow all of the things that I have said and do all of them, you are an amazing human being and should be elected. Thank you for your time. And if I am so lucky to be elected onto the council, then I will do my very best. And then Tim glides off the stage.
Oh, you do a big glide up and flash around? Yeah. Okay, why don't you make a persuasion check? You did a whole bunch of research. You had this thing already in place, so you may have advantage on this persuasion check.
I got a nat 20.
Oh my god. Do you wish to add your bardic inspiration to this?
No.
Or are you going to add your bardic inspiration to something else down the road? Okay. Everybody cheer.
Woo!
Oh. Try again.
The no. Heart of Humblewood!
Woo!
And yeah, the crowd is going pretty nuts. It started out very humble, very passionate, but also very reserved. And when you end and then fly off, everybody is initially, you're a little concerned. There's no sound at all, not even Rita cheering. There is not a word when you fly up into the sky and return to your seat. Please roll an athletics or acrobatics check to do this wind touch performance.
Use this.
You want to use a blue gem?
Yeah
okay. I have a question while you're looking that up. Are you dressed in your armor, Tim, or are you dressed in normal clothes?
Normal clothes.
Okay.
Okay, so I did an acrobatics check, and that is a total of 15.
15 is enough for a really impressive acrobatics check. And you fly back to the thing, and the next person to speak, they don't get as good a reaction, even though it was largely silence for yours. And Bear McNamara calls the next person up before people can really start to cheer. It makes you feel wonder and concern that maybe you didn't have a good speech. But the way Rita Harper is smiling at you and giving you thumbs up, and April Reapers joined her, and they're both so encouraging, you think maybe I did okay. And the first couple of questions come up and you don't get to answer those right away. The other speeches go, and Winton Umberpeck's speech is pretty good. He is very good at speeches. You can see why he's successful in his carpentry business as a woodpecker. Then a question comes up about the current council and what difference you would make on this new council. And maybe it's an opportunity to shine the light on Sunny Honeyvishel. So if you'd like to take one of your 30 seconds, you could answer that question if you would like to. Do you want to roleplay that, or are you just going to tell me what you do?
I just say something like, the council has a lot of corruption in it nowadays, and there's very few good members, and one of them is Sunny Honeyvishel.
Okay.
And I would add a lot to it and remove some of that corruption.
Everyone make a perception check.
Wait, me?
Yep.
I rolled a 3.
Me too. I also rolled a 3.
Hold on,
17.
Okay, so you're the only one in the group with these two other threers who notes that the audience actually really likes that. Sunny Honeyvishel is very well liked by everyone and believed to be incorruptible, which you all know now is factually false, but nonetheless. You get another opportunity. It does seem like Winton Umberpeck is doing extremely well. And Winton Umberpeck then says, well, I'd just like to tell you all that as you've seen my dealings with the council in the past in regards to the carpentry, and carpentry is so important when you live in a tree like this, how we deal with things here. And I know I will serve you all very well upon this council, because I have the Heartwood in mind. And you get an opportunity to rebut for 30 seconds what he just said.
I'm sorry, Winton Underpack. You didn't really mention any carpentry policy changes. And I think that is a very important matter. And I know you said the Heartwood, but can you be more specific of what you would change?
Oh my god, everybody. Winton Umberpeck looks so happy at Tim Portence. Like, you just served me up the best and easiest thing ever. And he then takes more than his 30 seconds. He is still talking when Bear McNamara is calling for order and to please settle down. He is the most boring thing you've ever heard. It goes a little like this.
Well, as you know, in policy 17.4, where it says that regulations and zoning guides need to be more explicitly stated at a certain size and dimension when you're creating your home, that those guides and those policies under 17.4 are already reflected in 18.2. And I think it's a very important thing that we also bear in mind that if we make changes to 17.4 and 18.2, that it's going to need to take legislation on the construction permit guide that everyone needs to adhere to and bear witness to. This guide, which is found in Appendix C of the construction manual for the council, is an integral document in our entire society. And no, it's fine. I'm just trying to explain the specifics of this policy and how important it is. No, I just want to look, if I could just make, I will add one. Let me take my additional 30 seconds then. Thank you. And then he goes on for another 30 seconds and loses the crowd entirely. Not only does it sound like it's stuff that only he knows, it sounds like stuff that he wants to repeal doesn't make sense overall. Everyone is very confused at the end, and it didn't even sound like he was much of an expert while he's shouting out codices and appendixes and subpoints. He sits down happy. He doesn't see the crowd is like really puzzled at what he's done and kind of disinterested. A couple little kids have fallen asleep. And he smiles over at Tim Portence and he mouths the word thank you to you, Tim.
And then I say, you're welcome. And then I wink.
Nice. Is there anything else, Tim Portence, you would like to do? Or is there a question that you want to answer?
No.
Okay. So you stick to your guns. You try to win over the crowd. You don't do anything fancy or flashy from that point on. And the debate ends. It's very clear to you, Rita, that Tim has done extremely well. He may have been able to do better if he'd had more quotable comments, but his three lessons of Gaspard's guide to leadership really did stick with people. And you move into the later part of the day. This public recedes. Everybody's kind of wrapping up. They're taking the... Well, this will become a polling place later for voting, so they're going to leave it up. People are getting ushered out, and voting starts tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., and it runs until 5 p.m., and it is all the next 3 days. What do you do following Tim Portence's speech?
Following his speech, or like the end of the thing?
Yeah.
Is everyone still there, or is people packing up?
People are packing up and leaving and heading all back on their day.
Tim!
I don't really think we should stay there because it's better not to be in a publicized area.
Being in front of a bunch of people is really important because it's harder to kill us.
It's just that this area is becoming less publicized.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that's true.
I would like to drop by some charities, actually, and make some donations.
Okay, yeah. How much are you donating to these charities?
How much money do I have? I don't know.
A good amount of money?
Yeah, like not unfair donations. Not like I'm dropping one gold coin.
Like you're buying their votes. I will remind you of one other thing in that you wanted to be there when Sunny Honey Vishal that tonight meets with her book club.
Yes.
So you wanted to be there for that.
So
can I be there too?
Well,
you can all go. I don't see
Tim
why not.
Tim gave me $5, and so I'll drop by some charities and make some donations like
on the way.
Yeah, on the way. And then we'll head Sunny Honey Vishal's.
All right. You go to Sunny Honey Vishal's. As you are leaving the debate, though, a patch walks right up to you, Rita Harper, and says, I got a letter delivered to you. And shoves another piece of parchment in your arms.
All right.
Bearing the signature, once again, of Connor Goldpenny.
Another letter. All right. Ahem. Connor Goldpenny.
The look on April Reaper's face is the same one as Sav's face. Like, that's funny, but I'm really irritated by this.
It's funny, but I'm just irritated by him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just him existing.
I know not how you managed to evade those I sent after you. nor how you manage to figure out, then sway the Buck Club against me. But I will still prevail. You will not win. Yours truly, Connor Goldpenny.
Yours truly.
Can we send a letter back to him?
Well, you could send a letter back to Connor Goldpenny. I don't think it would really be advantageous to do so. But
do
if
you not
want
like
to,
yours truly?
It was fine. It was delightful. But it was definitely not in the letter.
Well, it's part of the theatrical performance.
Sure. You grab a hot corn on the cob for dinner on your way there. Maybe there's a worm churro or something that you all snack on as well. You head back to the book club and you're very careful in your travels to remain on vastly public streets for fear. You stopped by some charities, hoping that that will sway the difference on the morrow. People are recognizing two of you on the streets. They're not recognizing April Reaper as much anymore. They are noticing Rita Harper and Tim Portence. And nobody gets your names wrong this time as they go about, and you are recognized on the street, and you kiss some babies and shake some hands on your way to the book club meeting. Unfortunately, through traveling the way you are, stopping by at charities, gathering, you know, talking to people, and being otherwise political on your approach, you are late to the book club meeting, and it has already begun when you finally arrive at Sonny Vishal's home. You knock on the door, and you are admitted in, and you meet the other four individuals in the book club of Sonny Honey Vishal.
Oh, good. I was just telling everyone, the list. But maybe, from your words, it would be better received.
Well, hello, everyone. Hi. I'm Rita Harper, Tim Porton, April Reaper.
You're looking great today, April.
April, would do you have the list on you? I don't have it.
Yeah.
Why am I British?
So you have the list. It's fine.
This list is a compilation of the people who have agreed to work with Connor Goldpenny to further his interests on the council and are evidence of his corruption.
The list is red.
Yeah. Any deal he tried to make with any of you was truly for his own benefit, so that way he could basically almost own most of the new Alderheart Council.
He wants the ability to change policies to what he wants, and we all know that his wants are not always in the best interest of the entire tree and all of Alderheart.
So what should we do?
Well, now there isn't as much we can do since the debates are over. I'd say the best thing to do is try and spread words to people to vote for who they believe in and who would actually benefit the council.
But what can I do specifically?
Cast your votes for anybody that is not on this list.
Speak out against Connor Goldpenny and what he tries to do. We need awareness. We need support in these actions. If you do not have the funds without Connor Goldpenny, push your funds towards Sonny Honey Vishal or other good politicians you know who will speak out against Connor, because we cannot let this man prevail. I will roll a persuasion check from that if you would wish.
No, I think you're good. One of them says,
but he has the mortgage on my house. I'll have to resign my nomination.
I'm so sorry.
I don't see any way forward.
I'm so sorry.
And then maybe he won't raise the rates on my mortgage or default it. I'm sorry, everyone. I'd like to stay for the rest of the book club, but I need to speak with my spouse.
Yes.
And they get up and they leave. And the feelings in the book club are very, very sad. And they come together and they decide it's not a good idea to take money from Connor Goldpenny. Even if they have, they're going to pay it back to him one way or another. The other four of them total, with Sonny Honey Vishal, all agree that they'll continue to run and have managed to figure out a way to pay Connor Goldpenny back. It's tough, though. They're like, we are going to be very much an enemy of his, and I would prefer not to have the richest person in all of Humblewood angry at me. So instead of persuasion checks, I would like you all to make insight checks.
19.
21.
16.
So all of you have more or less succeeded, some of you with greater ability than others. The difficulty was 15, so honestly, you all did it. And you believe that all but one of them are absolutely telling the truth. And even that last person is telling the truth. They're just super concerned that Connor Goldpenny is going to come after them personally. And it's Sunny Honeyvishal herself. She believes that she is the one who invited Connor Goldpenny into her house, and she gave Connor Goldpenny certain reassurances that led this down in the first place, that she is worried that Connor Goldpenny will take vengeance upon her. Whether there's anything you can do about that, I don't know, but that is what you get from your insight checks. The book club meeting ends. You take your leave, unless there was anything else you wanted to say or talk to these people about.
When most of the people leave, I'm like, hey, Sunny, don't worry. Connor Goldpenny said that we caused all the book club members to spy against us.
Aw, that's very kind of you. You're trying to reassure her? Why don't you make a persuasion check?
Using a blue Bardic gem. Inspiration.
He hasn't used it yet, so you still have it. And?
16.
What? Wow. Okay. Yeah. No, she is reassured from your Bardic Inspiration persuasion check. She's reassured that you will take care of it and that she can work with you and we'll figure it all out, mostly that it's your fault. And you take your leave. It is, of course, now 8 o'clock at night, and this is not a very busy street. What do you do?
Go.
What does that mean?
Run. Home.
Glide.
Fly.
You're going to fly again?
Well, no, we're just running off. Instead of, like, trying to avoid people, we are just going to run.
You're going to glide to the hotel?
Yes.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's the first to take off then?
Rita.
Wow. What a change has come. All right, the three of you fly. You glide back to the hotel.
Rita still throws up whenever they fly afterwards, like 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
The next day is the start of the voting. Do you vote day one, day two, or day three?
Day one.
Day one. Day one.
You vote. You try to convince other people to vote as well. You get out and you're constantly out there. What's important during the voting is just getting in people's faces. And Blaze does an amazing job of this.
Good job, Blaze.
And I will tell you this. You might not have gotten elected if you had told Blaze you were not friends with them and had separated yourself from it. Blaze is just so good at talking to people and making people happy when he talks to them. You yourselves are also good at this, and you do your best. You spend your white gems or blue gems or do your scenes as you needed to, but we are at the end of the adventure. So, I will describe a few things that are about to happen, and then I would like to know what the next 3 months are like for each of our heroes of Alderheart following the election. On the third day, the ballots close. They have been releasing polls. And the two of you, Tim Portence and Rita Harper, are pretty much at the top of the results from day one. There are many humble folk that are also top of the list as well. In fact, you know the rule that they made where there has to be at least 8 of either on there? That is going to possibly come into play as there are only 7 bird folk in the top 20. There are so many humble folk in the list that literally they have to make a special running for the 8th bird folk person because they're currently 21st in the polls. But the top 3 in the top 5, like 3 of the top 5, are Sunny Honeyvishal, Tim Portence, and Rita Harper. In 6th right now is Blaze.
Good job, Blaze.
Our heroes are doing quite well. And when polls close on the final day, back at the inn that you're currently calling your residence, a big celebration happens as the announcement goes out through sending and messages and otherwise revealing the list of the winners. And our new council of Alderheart is none other than Sunny Honeyvishal, Tim Portence, Rita Harper, and Blaze. There are 16 others. Some of the people on Connor Goldpenny's list did manage to get elected. It's true.
Is it a majority?
Nowhere near.
Well, he's a very rich man. We cannot stop him completely.
No, our goal was just to, like, not have it be the majority.
It's, like, two, probably. And, like last council, it was, like, the left side and the right side. The right side agreed on some things, and the left side agreed on some things. And then there was a person in the middle who kind of decided what. So those two people are kind of going to be outcasts.
Five people on the list that you had of Connor Goldpenny's made it onto the council.
Out of like 16? Like
out of 20 people on the council, that's a significant portion. And it does make it very, very difficult at times. You have to be very mindful and careful. And the next 3 months are learning how to be a council member and taking more responsibility at the Thieves Guild and working and finding a way to live in Alderheart itself, since you don't even have a home here, the two of you. But our heroes do continue to improve, make better, find a home for themselves. I have a small epilogue for you, but we have reached the end of our adventure. So please tell me, how do things go for the next 3 months for our heroes?
Rita buys a house. It's a small 2-bed, 2-bath tucked in the kind of corners of the tree. She frequently attends Sunny Honey Vishal's Foot Club, becomes even closer with April and Tim, frequently donates to Tim's church and the Humble Folk in Need charities, pushes for more equality in the lawmaking, and rewrites a lot of the laws regarding how to treat Humble Folk and Bird Folk and how they're different, not, you know, the same in lawmaking. Deals with a lot of personal cases of a lot of people who come in on the days, and also does some work in the Town for the Harpers, not being a super dedicated member, obviously more focused on other things, but definitely pushes a good word for the Harpers, as well as some of the other organizations. Keeps the Thieves Guild in relative. Oh, also spreads awareness for Connor Goldpenny not being a good guy. Oh, and checks in on the Jerbeans.
Well, one of them got elected.
Yeah.
Great.
Attends one of their marriages. Yeah.
I'll let you know as well that Bene Saradin also gets elected onto the council.
Who?
The Bandit Queen.
Sick!
As we move on to the next players.
Also, one last thing.
Sure.
Calls attention to the case of Frey Meriden and the family. And just is like spreading awareness about the true story there.
So you work on a special subcommittee that works on reparations for bandit folk?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
April doesn't actually get her own place right away. She usually takes advantage of that second bedroom at Rita's.
They live together.
Or sometimes stays with her aunt.
And they were roommates.
She continues to work on like magic stuff and working her way up in the Thieves Guild, managing to also get closer with like that older doorman and Matt. She also like not nearly as often, maybe like once every couple months, will attend that book club, mostly because Rita probably dragged her there. She also spends a lot of time with the Jerbeans, likes hanging out with them a lot, and spreads like, and really, like, it tries to, like, talk about different things that don't usually have a lot of lights bet on them. Like, she does a lot of research and talks about things that not a lot of people think about.
So, two of the assassins seek you out and apologize for taking the bounty. The Mapache that you met on the sidewalk is one of the first and actually becomes somewhat of a friend of yours.
Yeah.
For that. But you don't really ever talk to the servant ever again.
Fine by me.
Yeah. If we ever see that guy, I am running away.
And you're very busy learning magic with Matt, and you're very busy with Thieves Guild stuff amongst all of the time you're spending and hanging out with Rita when she's available. And so 3 months flies by like you didn't even notice it.
Tim lives across the street from Rita's house.
I love that.
Because Tim stayed at the hotel for like the first
month. Not across the street, across the branch.
Yeah, across the branch. because Tim lived at the hotel for like a first month trying to find a place.
Okay.
And then Rita was like, you can live across the street. That's going up for sale. And Tim, close to the end of the 3 months, started a case against Connor Goldpenny, which is close to finishing.
Wow.
Tim also helped the Jerbeens get their own house, because they didn't have a house. And maybe for the other two, the 3 months was fast, but for Tim, it was quite slow.
Our story closes here, with bright sunny days stretching into fall. The leaves are starting to turn and fall themselves as another season comes and goes for our heroes of Humblewood. Our last scene finds our three heroes heading to council chambers one day, and the thump of a cane on cobblestones calls your attention. And it is none other than Connor Goldpenny standing there on the street, espying the three of you. Just Connor Goldpenny, his guards are not there at all. He sees you walking, you know, the credits are about to roll. You're walking down the street towards the council as you're busy with your lives. You're all looking so great. You know, your armor's polished, your clothes and your feathers are all in place. You've all grown in experience and wisdom. And Connor Goldpenny clears his throat and goes, ahem. And you stop and turn. And Connor Goldpenny says, well, 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 you have won, you heroes of Alderheart. But our fair land has not. While you politicked and dickered with me, the fire rages on. And the north, the great woods are once again ablaze. What will you do, politicians that you are? Will you stop the fire? Will you find the cause? I cannot rule. I cannot own anything if it is all soot and ash. So it behooves me very well to direct you to the Magisterium. I have a contact there who may know how to solve this problem forevermore. He holds out a name on a piece of parchment and he says, will you help me?
The fires need to be stopped. And while I personally don't like you at all, you make a good point.
True, but we'll help you only at one cost.
Purely for stopping the fires, yeah, we'll help you. April takes the piece of paper that was held out to them.
And a new quest has been delivered unto our heroes. And maybe we'll come back to Humblewood down the road and we will have adventures for our level 6 heroes who will go into the blazing inferno and find out why it is the fires rage across Humblewood. But that remains for another adventure.
I have a little bit of a song that I want to sing. Is that okay? Yeah. Claws over talons. Doesn't matter to any of us. Don't change the subject. I'm heavy on your love. I miss that tree, Alderheart, it rains. Fly to an Owen Reach with big wings. You know you're on my mind. And if the world don't break, I'll be shaking it. 'Cause I'm a young bird after all. And when the seasons change, will you stand by me? 'Cause I'm a young bird built to fall.
Thank you. The end.
Dad, I know you want the Humblewood campaign to continue, but we still have to do the Lord's own one. We still have to do that, like, zombie outbreak or whatever.
You're wondering, if I go wandering with you, what kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. Neighborhood.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more of the adventure. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. Find their music on iTunes or check them out at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at OkieDokieBros. We'd love a review on iTunes or check us out on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. See you all later!
I'm wondering if you'd come wandering my way. If you ever get lost or if the trail leads you astray. The music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word.